Amen. Beautiful song. And I believe we give up too easy. We give in too easy. And we allow ourselves to get so frustrated. Anybody else get frustrated during a week? And then you look back just a few moments afterwards and you think, why in the world did I allow myself to get so worked up about that? And you realize it's so small, but yet the devil tries to make it so big in our lives. In the book of Isaiah in the 5th chapter is where we'll be reading from this morning. Isaiah the 5th chapter while you pray. And it's a powerful message this morning. And I certainly request that you pray for us. And I think that God would want you to listen, especially you that are young, you that are away from God, you that have never known God, that you would just listen to His word and let it penetrate your heart. Because the longer you put off God, the harder it's going to be in your life and even in the acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why He said to seek the Lord in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Because He knows that once the devil gets a hold of you, that it becomes harder and harder for you to let go of the world and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So Isaiah the 5th chapter, go with me if you would, reading starting at verse 13 and reading down through and including verse 15 this morning. So verse 13 of the 5th chapter of Isaiah says that, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness." And stop reading there with that 16th verse this morning. And you pray for us for the time that we're before you. And the text or the thought that God has given to us today is entitled Hell. I don't know how much you've thought about it, but there's a lot in the scripture about hell and about who shall end up there and why that folks end up there and who it was made for. And there's only one way of escape, and His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. The Bible says here that because of people and the way they live their lives, God said, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. The Bible says, going along with that, over in the book of Amos in the 8th chapter and starting at the 11th verse, he said, "Behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." That Isaiah was saying that they're famished. They don't have the food that they need. And also that they're dried up with thirst. And I believe this describes our world today. That there is a hunger and a thirst that cannot be satisfied with the things of this world. The only thing that will truly satisfy man's soul is to hear a word from God and have God's Spirit come into our life and our hearts and rejuvenate us and give us that hope that we need in these days in which we live in. The scripture here says that hell is getting bigger. She's enlarged her mouth. Hell is not getting bigger because of Satan. It's getting bigger because of people believing Satan. People are believing him. Hell is not getting bigger because God is sending people there. But hell is getting bigger because people are choosing to go to hell. God created hell, made hell, for the devil and his angels, the third part that was cast out of the heaven. They were put there because of a revolt against God. And there had to come a separation because Satan thought he was as God. He thought he was as powerful and as big as God. And God cast him in the third part out of heaven. But the Bible says that hell's had to enlarge herself. And the reason why that hell has had to enlarge herself is because not of what man has done, but because of what men and women have not done. People get hung up on what they've done in life. It's not your sin that's taking you to hell. It's your rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord that's going to take you to hell for eternity. People don't like to hear messages, Brother Mark, about hell. They'd rather hear about heaven. And certainly we like to hear about heaven. But hell is as real as heaven is. They have a lot in similarity. And you bear with me. They have similarities because they both have a host of people within their limits. They both have a God that people worship. Hell has the lower G God, and heaven has the capital G God. And both of them have people that go there because they want to. You say, I don't want to go to hell. Your ways is what will take you there. You choose, we choose individually, we choose our destinations. We choose it by what we do and how that we live our lives and that we stay away from God. People today, when we look at hell, that there's not one person, Brother Charlie, that ought to die and go to hell. Jesus made a way. Hallelujah. That everyone would be able to escape that awful place of torments. But men and women, boys and girls have chosen rather to live their lives as they see fit. Can I preach this morning? Just because you think it's right does not mean that's the way that you ought to do things. Not everything that society says is lawful is really lawful. There's a lot of things that are legal that are against God's word. And a lot of these things today is what's taking our people by the host down to hell and destruction. And I got to just put my thought in it today. Just judging by the world and the shape that she is in, there are more people going to hell than there are going to heaven. I believe that, Sister Mary. Hell is big enough to hold everyone that wants to go there. And heaven is big enough to hold everyone that wants to go there. I'm glad I know where I'm going. Hell does not scare me because I know that I've been redeemed from that awful place. But it does scare me on behalf of people that are still going down fast to that awful place. You say, how are they going down fast? By the way that they choose to live their life. Many may wonder in the scripture reading, who is going to hell? And the Bible is very explicit about those that are going to die and go to hell for eternity. In the reading that we gave in verse 15, it says the mean men, those with lofty eyes, those that look down on everybody else, those that think that they are better than everybody else, and the mighty men. In verse 18, it says, those that sin by the cartload. And what he's meaning by that, those that increase in sin. Just when you think they can't sin anymore, it's like they put something else on the wagon. And we're seeing that in our society today. That folks start off, and I'll get maybe a little political this morning, but in the message, that folks start off with something small, like alcohol and drugs. Maybe they start off with what is being gaining momentum across our country, like it did in Canada, to legalize marijuana. But that is only going to lead to something stronger. What they're doing is adding sin to sin. And it becomes such a burden, such a load, that they just keep piling on and piling on. Y'all know any folks like this, that just a little sin ain't good enough? It's almost like they're in competition to outdo the other sinner that's next to them. In the book of Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, in the 5th verse, it says that the whoremonger is going to hell. The unclean are going to hell. The covetous people are going to hell. And even the idolaters are going to hell. Peter said it like this: those that walk after the flesh. In the 10th verse of the 2nd chapter of 2nd Peter. In the 14th verse, he says, the adulterers are going to hell. That'll make your church get quiet. And we all know people like this. And it also says, those that cannot cease from sin. Those that just can continually sin and sin and sin. And listen at this, this caught my attention. He says, those that beguile unstable souls. And I thought, Brother Wayne, that's where our churches are at today. We are beguiling unstable souls by telling them that if you just live good enough, if you just give good enough, if you just act good enough, and you try to clean up your act to the best that you can, then you won't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Let me preach to you this morning that we don't need to be telling people that their sin is all right, but we need to stand up against sin. And it doesn't matter if they like us or they don't like us, or if they speak evil against us. Sin will take you to hell for eternity. He said, those that beguile unstable souls. How many people have been tricked into believing they're all right? Those that just joined the church. Those that just was taken down and maybe to the river or the creek or the baptistry and baptized and told that they're all right. Those that got hooked up with the church, and I know this for a fact, that there are churches that tell you that if you give good enough that you won't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Let me tell you today, anything short of the blood of Jesus Christ means that you will die and go to hell for eternity. Anything short. The Bible says in the 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in the 15th verse, those that have forsaken the right way and have gone astray. Brother Ray, our type of worship, our type of preaching is not acceptable today's society. But I say thank God for the old-fashioned way that still teaches Jesus lives. He reigns and rules. And if you want to go to heaven, you've got to get right with Him. I'm not going to tell you you're good enough. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to heaven. You have to be born again and know for yourself whether you're going to heaven or not. And let me put a statement out. If you're not going to heaven, you certainly are going to hell. People say, Roger, what about the other doctrine that talks about the in-between place? I have read this book. I have searched this book, and I cannot find any place that's in between heaven and earth, or heaven and hell, besides earth. You know what earth is? It's the getting ready place for eternity. People that talk about that there's a place where you can go, and once you pay for your sins, that and then you're released and you get to go to that celestial heaven. Or those that preach and teach that, but when you die, if your family prays good enough or gives good enough, that you will be able to get out of that place. Let me tell you, as much as I love y'all, I'm afraid that if I was to die, after a while, some of you would forget about me and quit praying to get me out of there and quit giving. You know what I'm thankful for this morning? I walked down an aisleway and I knelt at an altar of prayer. I called upon the name of Jesus and He come into my heart. He saved my dying soul, and I don't have to worry about going to that place anymore. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us, and this is not popular this morning, who all's going to hell? There will be moms and dads in hell. Oh, this ought to grieve us this morning, church. There will be grandfathers and grandmothers. There will be brothers and sisters. There will be children there. You say, Roger, you ought not preach that like that. Anyone that comes to the age of accountability and rejects God, and death comes to their door, they will be found in hell for eternity. Y'all, this morning, this is not a popular message, but it's the truth. The Bible tells us that the poor and the rich will be there alike. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? When the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his eyes. But that poor little beggar, I'm thankful that when John's disciples went to Jesus and said, "Are you the one that should come, or do we look for another?" He said, "You go tell John. The blind receive their sight, the deaf ear are open, and those that are lame are walking, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Thankful this morning that He did that for us. The Bible says that good people will be there as well as evil people. Church members are going to be in hell. Oh, that's hard for us to digest. You say, does that mean some of y'all's church members might be there? If you've not been born again, you certainly are living on dangerous ground. Preachers will be there. Somebody say amen. Larry Jones would have a shouting spell. But everyone that says they're a preacher is not a preacher that's being called by God. You see, I'm thankful God gave me the calling. Mama didn't call me and Daddy sent me, but God gave the calling. Deacons will be there. And before you lay members get too excited, even lay members are going to be there. Because not everyone that cleans up the outside of the cup has the inside cleaned up. But I'm thankful God will clean up the inside, and it will come to the outside if you'll allow Him to do so. Religious folks are going to be there. There's, you know what? We live in a time when religion is taking more people to hell than anything else. It's not every place that has church over the door that is of God. And some of our, and you just take this up with the Lord this morning, but some of our biggest establishments, I believe with all my heart, are deceiving people more than they are helping people. Because they're telling everybody it's all right. You know, they say, "Well, we don't preach against it." You know, if you don't preach against it, you're preaching for it. It is the Word of God. If we don't preach against sin, we're saying it's all right. You say, "But Roger, we all sin." I know we do. But that's no excuse for us to stay there. No excuse for us. When God saved us, He did not give us a license to go out and commit sin. In fact, when He saved us, He said, "Come ye out from the world. Separate yourselves. And quit looking and acting like those." Everyone that has not been born again will be in hell. Everyone that's not been born again. Everyone that had good intentions of getting saved, but put it off until it was too late. And folks, let me pause here for a minute. I believe that you and I have family, or we know of people that they know they need to get saved, but they keep putting it off and putting it off. And my greatest fear is that death's going to come and catch them unprepared to die. And they'll have to spend eternity in hell and destruction. I'm going to get a little bit deeper now. I believe the pedophiles will be in hell. Amen. I believe that this gay, lesbian, transsexual, and whatever else they call it today, this movement that has taken over our country and saying it's all right for people to defile the natural use for which God created us for, if they don't get saved by the grace of God, they everyone will burn in a devil's hell. I don't care who says it's right and who says leave them alone and let them be. God said the man that lieth with another man shall die, be put to death. And people say, well, that was in the Old Testament. God ought to change and get with the new way. God will not change his word for you or me. If he does, he's got to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them for destroying their cities because of sin. You say, Roger, you're too hard. No, we've been too soft. In the workplace, in our neighborhoods, we're told to be politically correct and acceptable. I say the devil has done a good job of whitewashing. Let's just let sin go on. People say, Roger, you're just too hard-headed. I didn't write the book. God did. What happens to those that go to hell? I won't be before you much longer. Matthew, the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, says that those that go to hell will be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In hell today, and I can't paint it as graphic as what it really is, but Brother Les, in hell today, there are moms and dads, boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas, and all those other people that are crying out, and they are gnashing on one another. That means that they are biting on one another to try to find some comfort. People say, if I die and go to hell, I'll just be there with my friends. That does not sound like friendship to me. There are those that's told me if I die and go to hell, it's just going to be one party that'll start when I get there. Ask the rich man if there was any partying going on. But he, being in torments, cried out to God, but it was too late. What happens to those in hell today? They're in that outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter and the 13th verse, says that in the last day, that death and hell shall deliver up all that they have in their bounds, and they shall be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. To where you say, then we'll just burn up and that'll be the end of it. No, you will die and die, but never, never truly die. People in hell have a mind. They have feelings. They have remorse. But it's too late. Scripture tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. The question is, are you going to do it on this side of the river, or are you going to do it in a devil's hell when it's too late? The Bible teaches us, or the question will come, how can we escape hell then? You've told us about who's going there and how bad it is and how terrible of a place that it is. And this goes back to those that beguile the souls. Because you say, all you have to do is just believe and you'll be saved. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. The Bible says in the book of James that even the devils believe and tremble. Let me put this in for good measure. There's not one unbeliever in hell today. In fact, just like that rich man, you know what they would tell you this morning if they could? Don't come to this awful place. That's what the rich man, he said, you send word back to my five brethren not to come here because it's such a terrible, terrible place. I believe this, some of y'all follow the news and you see all these, you see where that drug lord is on trial in New York. I believe it just like this, and God help me if you don't believe it this way, that God will change my mind and my heart. Those that push those drugs, those that grow those drugs, those that take it to our schools and pass it out to moms and dads, they all, if they don't get saved, they will be in a devil's hell for eternity. You say, Roger, you're harsh. I'll go even further. The abortion clinics. Not just the doctors, but I believe this with all my heart, anyone that has anything to do with them will have to give an account to God. And you say, Roger, that's too hard. You know abortion's legal. It might be legal, but it's not lawful. Thank God, I believe it was proposed in the state of Ohio this week that now it's being proposed. That doesn't mean it's law, that if they detect a heartbeat, they cannot abort it. I say it should have been they can't abort anything. But you know, it's a step closer than where we're at today. Aborting children all the way to the second trimester. How it must grieve God today that people are doing this. You say, Roger, you just have all kinds of problems, don't you? No. God has a problem with it. It's sin, and it's destroying our nation today because we say, let everybody make up their own mind. Don't you be judging me. It's not my words that judge you. It's the word of God that judges you. I mean, most of us grew up, we knew not to steal or lie. Right, Brother Lloyd has talked about this, and most of us, I think we can say amen to this. We were taught that from a youth up. Nobody had to tell us not to do it. We knew it was wrong. But now everything is all right. How can we escape hell? We have to go to the book of John in the 3rd chapter, where Jesus told Nicodemus, can I paraphrase this one? Can I have that liberty? He told Nicodemus, if you don't want to die and go to hell, you must be born again. In the 3rd, 5th, and 7th verses of that 3rd chapter, John, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You say, Roger, how can I be born again? That's what Nicodemus asked, was it not? The only way you can be born again is when God knocks upon your heart's door and gives you an invitation to come and be part of His family. Not that you just believe upon Him, but you accept Him and His work at Calvary and on the resurrection morning that He got up out of the grave and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. If you will accept that, God will save you this morning. And I'm going to close with this final thought. You say, but what if I have some of those attributes in my life? If God has dealt with your heart, God is able to take those things away from you. People say, can a drunkard get saved? Amen. Can a drug addict get saved? Amen. Can one that has committed any of these sins be saved? Amen. And I'll go even further. Just one step. And I'm on slippery ground this morning. Even those that are homosexual can be saved if they will repent of their sins and turn from their wickedness. You say, Roger, you're saying God can save anybody, anybody that he calls, and they answer that call, God will save them. In fact, look around us. And if this isn't enough, let me give you a little bit more. I said I was going to close, Brother Wayne, but I got to get just a little bit more. God has saved murderers. Saul was a murderer. Was he not? He has saved adulterers. Look at little Rahab. Right? Oh, I forgot y'all was talking about her. Oh, that's spiritual this morning. He has saved liars. Did I say adulterers? Look at David. David also was a murderer, was he not? And the list goes on and on and on. Paul said it like this. I was the chiefest of all sinners, and God saved me. I have to say, Lord, I may not be at some of them others, but I know that I was a sinner that needed to be saved. And I say this so many times over the years. The real reason I wanted to get saved is so that I wouldn't have to go to hell. Hell scared me. On Wednesday night when the invitation come, and Rob, get us a song. I told the Lord, I walked away and I laid up on my bed that night and I was afraid I would die. And if I died, nobody has to tell you where you're going to spend eternity. I knew if I died, I would go to a devil's hell. And I made a deal with the Lord. If you'll let me get back to church on Saturday night and you knock upon my heart's door, I'll step out and receive you. The service was almost over and the devil had almost talked me into letting another time go by. But finally, I don't know where it came from, Brother Jack, but finally, I took that first step. And the next thing I know, I was getting up from the altar and the pastor was telling me, asking me, did you ask God to forgive you? And I shook my head, yes. He said, do you believe that God saved you? I shook my head, yes. And I've not had a fear of hell since that Saturday night in 1972. Amen? How many of y'all remember when you stepped out that God saved you and you not had to worry about hell since then? But a lot of our people are being tricked today. I don't want anybody to say Roger in his preaching tricked us about heaven and hell. In fact, the Bible tells us as preachers that we have to give an account for what we've preached. And if we don't preach the truth, that the blood will be required at our hands. Let me tell you, and I say this in love this morning, I have enough to worry about with keeping Roger, much less all of you. But I ask you this morning, why would you want to die and go to hell? Is there anything in this world that the pleasure brings you that is worth living in an eternity in torments? Is there any amount of money that you would have here in this life that would be worth spending an eternity in hell? Is there any amount of somebody laughing at you or mocking you or making fun of you because you say that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Is there, instead of accepting him, there is not enough time in hell. You'll forever be sorry that you didn't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But on this Sunday morning, let me give you the best directions that I can. If I was you and I had a fear in my heart of dying and going to hell, you know what I'd do? While Robin Sharon sings us a song and this congregation is standing and praying, I'd step out and come down to an altar of prayer and say, Lord, save me. You say, I'd like to come, but I'm just too embarrassed to come by myself. Take the hand of somebody next to you and ask them to come with you. The best thing you could do is put away this world and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Come this morning. Come this morning. God is what you need. God is what will bring that happiness into your life. The joy that you miss. Put off your sinning and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. He's the only one that can draw you out. David said it like that. He drew me out of the pangs of hell. The Lord will do it for you this morning. Why don't you receive Him today as your personal Savior? Sing it, church. Some this morning might say, you know, I'd get right with God, but I'm afraid that people would make fun of me. People would talk about me. Can I just testify for a moment? I have been made fun of and mocked most of my life. When I was growing up, we was made fun of because we was poor. We couldn't dress like everybody else did. We didn't have the designer shoes and we didn't have the designer jeans and shirts like everybody else did. I remember, Brother Eli, when I was in high school, everybody was wearing their Converse shoes. But Dad and Mom couldn't afford to buy all of us kids Converse shoes, so we ended up getting ours at Kmart. You know, Converse at that time was like $15 a pair. The shoes at Kmart were like $4 a pair. So we was made fun of because we was poor. And then we was made fun of because of where we lived. We didn't live in the nice neighborhoods. And people would laugh. You'd get on the bus and you'd hear the chuckles. Growing up and even into our adulthood, it comes that people laugh at you because you're different than they are. Once you name your name for Jesus Christ and people find out about it, they're going to treat you different. And it's not always bad. A lot of it's good. Sometimes I walk up into a crowd and they're telling a dirty joke. They'll hush real quick. And I say, thank God. I don't need to hear that, right? Sometimes they're talking about their party and I walk up and they'll stop. Because they know that I don't approve of it. Sometimes they'll make fun of you because of what you look like. And there ain't nothing we can do about that. Right? I've given you all these examples to paint the picture. It doesn't matter what you do in life. Somebody is always going to find something to pick on you for. Right? And if they want to pick on me because I proclaim my name for Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, let them pick on. Because I've come to the conclusion, the only thing I need in life is Him. Everything else can pass me on by. You know, Becky and the kids say that I would be happy as a hermit. I don't need a lot of people. In fact, I do some of my best work when it's just me by myself. I do some of my best praying. I do some of my best preaching. Y'all ought to hear some of them messages. But I could, because I have come to grasp with this one fact. As long as I have Jesus, let the world pass me on by, because I'm happy where I'm at. This morning, I'm going to ask for one more verse because we may have someone here today that just needs to pray. You just need to pray. You know that the devil's coming against you, and that you don't, you think, well, hell can't be much worse than what he's doing to me now. Let me tell you, what you're going through now is nothing compared to an eternity in hell. And I just have to give you my heart this morning. I believe a lot of times the reason why we're in the conditions we're in is because we have turned our backs on God. So I'm going to ask for one verse. And this will be it. Just one verse. I ask you, why don't you come and pray this morning? Make that step today. Young man or woman, mom or dad, grandma or grandpa, church member or not, why don't you come? Why don't you come? I preached my heart to you this morning, and I was talking about people making fun. The devil still bothers me every day. You know, he'll tell me that I'm not that good of a father. I'm not that good of a husband. I'm not that good of an employee. He'll even tell you that you're not that good of a Christian. And he'll come and say, you're not that good of a preacher. You're not that good of a pastor. And, you know, and all of these, I have to say, you know what? You're right. I'm not. But I'm working on it. And God's working on it. And you've not seen the best of me yet, devil. Amen. In fact, y'all ain't seen the best. I've not seen the best. But one day when you hear that I'm gone, y'all walk by and say, don't he look good laying there? Y'all know I don't. But you ought to see what I'm looking like on the other side. Amen. God bless you. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord? Do you wish the preacher wouldn't preach so hard? We need it today. We need it. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. My heart is broken today. Folks should have moved, but God won't make them. We can't make them, but we can pray God will make the bed so hard and take the rest from them until they get right with him. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. And let's come ready to worship God tonight, would you? And Barb, introduce your son. I didn't even get a chance. Good to have you with us, buddy. And good. Yeah. Oh. Uh-oh. That's all right. My sisters and brothers, they sometimes they'll gang up on me and say, you know he was mom's favorite. And that's probably because I was the first and because I'm the only one that really looks like her. So, yeah. So, and he looks like you. So, God bless you. Have a great day and come back tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you today.